Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the first lesson for today. We read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the first verse in the 56th chapter, and then verses 6 to 8. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is God's Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of all nations, dearly loved by God. You may be familiar with the political term, a big tent. What does a political party mean when they talk about having a big tent? It's a way of describing their desire to be inclusive, to say that we welcome all people. We want to include all people to come and stand with us on our platform. There is no bigger tent in transcendent terms than the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a big tent. The kingdom of God is inclusive. It includes all from whatever nation on earth are bound to Christ Jesus as their Savior. There is room for all, like the Gentile woman of our gospel lesson, who approached Jesus in humility, who approached Jesus empty-handed with a deep sense of her sins, and said, Lord, have mercy on me. She trusted only in Christ to be merciful to her and to her daughter. Rising high above Jerusalem on Mount Zion as a stark testimony to this reality was Solomon's temple. It was God's house of prayer. And here, prayer is used as a metonymy, a part for a whole. You know, I hear people say, Pastor, I don't worship. I don't obey the commandments. I don't serve the Lord. I don't really read my Bible or do anything in connection with Christ, but I still pray. You can't pray without connection to all those other things. So when God talks about His house of prayer, prayer really is a part for the whole. It really means everything that we do in our relationship and connection with God. Repentance, faith, service, sacrifice, and yes, also prayer. In Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah saw Jesus' day. He saw our day of the New Testament church. When people, exiles of Israel, Jews who would believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and people from all nations would come and gather together, and He would call His temple the house of prayer. And there He's talking about the church, about the holy Christian church, the communion of saints. And so this morning, we take a look at that house of prayer. God's church, not a building, but all believers, God's church is a house of prayer. We see, first of all, that He is the one who gathers His church together. And secondly, it is He who gives joy to the church. You might be familiar with Isaiah's words in another place as Jesus quoted them. He quoted some of these words of Isaiah and added some from Jeremiah. Recall during Holy Week when Jesus went into the temple area and drove out the money changers. He said, "My Father's house is a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of robbers." The Son of God was very jealous for His Father's house. It was a place of God, for God's presence, a place for sacrifice, a place for faith, a place to be closely tied to the Lord and to manifest that in obedience. But Israel had turned the temple into an empty shell. The glory of the Lord had departed the most holy place long time before that. The Ark of the Covenant had been gone for years. And the Jews had turned God's temple from a house of prayer into simply the outward symbol of their outward obedience to God. Even when they didn't believe in Jesus who was standing right there in front of them as their Savior from sin. They wouldn't allow sinners near the temple. They wouldn't allow Gentiles near the temple, even as they themselves rejected Christ. Isaiah looked forward in prophecy to the day of the New Testament church, to the day when Jesus would come and fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. He saw our day in the New Testament church. The church is inclusive. The church is for all who cling, who cleave to Jesus Christ in repentance and in faith. God, the Holy Spirit, has called us into the temple of the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. And God calls it His house of prayer, His house of everything that is involved in our relationship with Him. And one of those things that is involved is to maintain justice and do what is right. Those are the fruits of faith in Christ. This is really God's call to repentance. "For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness soon to be revealed." God is saying, recognize your sin, confess it, and turn in faith to that righteousness and that salvation in Christ. The pronouns there are very telling. Notice that the Holy Spirit speaking God's word says that God says salvation is my salvation, that righteousness is my righteousness. We don't work our salvation. It is God's and He gives it to us. We aren't saved by our righteousness. We're saved by Christ's righteousness, which He gives to us by the Spirit. In the good news of our Savior, God is close at hand, and He reveals Himself in Jesus Christ. Rather than an earthly temple rising high on Mount Zion that no longer represented what it was built for in the first place, God has in our day built a spiritual temple. The kingdom of God, the gospel where we find our Savior and His salvation and His righteousness. We are members of the kingdom of God. It is in our hearts. The house of prayer is within us, in which we not only pray, but in which we do everything that comes through Jesus' cross. And really, when we think about it, isn't Jesus' cross also a metonymy? Really, when you and I see a cross, we don't think just of Jesus' death, do we? We think of our sins that put Him there. Our sins that condemned Him there. Our sins that He paid for there. Our sins from which He when He conquered them, He rose from the dead after being taken down from there. So when you and I talk about the cross, we are talking about everything that is involved in the relationship we have with God that He has given us. And it is in that relationship that we pray. It is in that relationship that we turn to our friend Jesus in all of our troubles, in all of our problems. Jesus hears only the prayers of those who believe in Him as their Savior and manifest that faith by maintaining justice and by doing what is right and by offering ourselves in humility and repentance as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit bound us to Christ in holy baptism. That's not like a servant or a slave is bound against their will to his master. That is a bondage of fear and a bondage of obedience against one's will. God has given us a new will. God has redeemed our reason, our will, our emotions, so that we can serve our Lord freely and willingly. Professor Deutschlander last week talked about it is only when we are bound to Christ that we are really free, that we are totally free to willingly and gladly serve our Lord Jesus. God's house, God's church is a house of prayer, and He gives joy in that church. We bind ourselves to the Lord by His call to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship Him, to keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and hold fast to His covenant. Nothing gives more freedom than being set free. Or rather, nothing gives more joy than having been set free. Maybe you heard about the two men down in North Carolina who had been wrongly imprisoned for over 3 decades for something that they didn't do. And finally, they were set free from prison. What joy must have filled their hearts. You and I have been set free from a prison we deserve. And that prison is hell. Because we are guilty. And we should spend eternity in hell. But God has in Christ Jesus set us free. He has reconciled us to Himself in Christ. And by God's grace has bound us to His Son by our baptisms, by the gospel and word and sacrament. And He keeps us bound to Christ so that we can have that joy of serving Him, of loving the name of the Lord, of worshiping Him, of keeping the Sabbath without desecrating it. And that doesn't mean we come to church on Sunday or not, or we keep some kind of day holy. Luther says it means that we fear and love God, that we hold His word sacred, and that we gladly hear and learn it, and that we hold fast to His covenant, that we hold fast to that New Testament, that new covenant of His grace, and as a guide and as a rule in our lives, we hold fast to the old covenant of the law. And when our sinful nature, which still infects us all, causes us to use our reason, our will, our emotions in the service of sin, that joy that we have in our freedom moves us to confess those sins, to throw off those sins, to rely on Jesus as our Savior for the forgiveness of those sins. Jesus says through prophecy that in that repentance and faith, our burnt offerings and our sacrifices will be acceptable on His altar. I don't remember the last time we burned any offerings to the Lord here. or any time we brought sacrifices of grain or oil. Oh, no, wait a minute. We do that every week when we take the offering. We do that every week when we offer our prayers in our liturgy. We offer it every week when we see someone next to us who doesn't have a clue where we are in the hymnal, and we help and we show them exactly where we are and help them follow along with worship. We do that when we cover over the sins of someone with our forgiveness and don't hold a grudge. Those two words, burnt offerings and sacrifices, really cover both and all kinds, all the sacrifices and offerings that Israel offered, because those pointed ahead to the Savior. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We offer ourselves and everything we have to God because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. We offer our prayers, our money, our time, the use of our abilities, our hearts and faith to our Savior who came for us. This gathering of foreigners or Gentiles, that's us, the gathering of the exiles of Israel, that's believing Jews or people who are Jewish who come to faith, that may be some of us, God says, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. This gathering and building of the house of prayer, the kingdom of God, is ongoing. In our second lesson, Paul was talking about the Gentiles and the Jews. God cut off some dead branches from the tree of his Old Testament church and the unbelieving Jews, and he grafted onto the church believing Gentiles whom he brought to faith. And then he also grafted onto the church some believers in Israel. And so the church then was a tree that had these branches from both Jew and Gentile that were grafted and on the church. The temple was theirs, that house of prayer. Not that only signified now outward obedience, but a temple now where God's people offered their hearts and their lives. When I was in Milwaukee, there was another congregation not too far away called House of Prayer. And I always liked that name. I thought that was a nice name for a church. And yet, it isn't a sign outside that says House of Prayer that makes the church a house of prayer. It is the call of the gospel by which the Holy Spirit brings us to faith and moves us to offerings and sacrifices in faith. This isn't the house of prayer. The house of prayer is in here. We can call this our house of prayer because of everything that we do here in our service and our worship and our prayer. But we are cleaved to Christ. That's an interesting word, cleave. We used to use it back in the day in the wedding service, where we would say to the husband, will you cleave only to your wife? Or to the wife, will you cleave only to your husband? And people wonder why we don't use the King James anymore. But cleave means to be faithful to hold on to be committed to the other person no matter what. The gospel has cleaved Christ to us. It has cleaved us to Christ. And in that unity, in that bond, there is great joy in our obedience, in our service, and in our hope. And so in that bond, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness soon will be revealed. Amen.